welcome everybody to the technical committee. Special welcome to Gavin and Ben and members of the public and staff, the balance of the staff. We have an apology from Ella. I'll move that we accept that. Seconded by Councillor Laws. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
It's carried. Leave of absence. Not aware of any requests. Attendance. The appropriate staff are in attendance. Conflict of interest. Just the same reminder you need to be aware of. Public forum. We have no public forum. Presentations. There are no presentations. We have got the confirmation of the minutes from the 12th of June. I will move they're true and correct, seconded by Councillor Robertson. I just had one question. Pass. No, sorry, I haven't got a question. Beg your pardon. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Actions, if you look there, the Lake Snow Technical Workshop recommendation, that the status of that is in progress. The other two on the next page are both been assigned to be followed up by staff. So I assume, Dr. Palmer, that's completed, if they've been assigned, or...
Yes, the first of those two has. I don't know if Mr. Newman's done the second one, but I'll check.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Councillor Laws.
Okay, well, the first one is the Lake Snow. I thought our minutes were a little deficient on that, because I'm pretty sure, and I guess Ella was pretty hot on this, so she asked at the last meeting of this, for an update, and I think you did too, Brian. We were talking about an update on Lake Snow, and I expected to see that here in this report.
I'm not sure whether I can't recall that commitment being made, but however, we'll ask the chief.
I know, but it was a discussion that we were having, and we were talking about it, and so I thought.
Chief Executive?
So, my recollection is that what we had said was Dr. Palmer was going to a meeting of the biomanagers to test their appetite for partnering with us on that research program. I understand Dr. Palmer did attend that meeting, and the result of which is there's not a whole lot of appetite. Is that correct?
Yes, I attended that meeting. That's sort of second and third tier regional council staff involved in biosecurity, biodiversity type activity. The group has an agreed research plan, a set of agreed research priorities in the biosecurity space across all regional councils that will shortly be reviewed as it is done annually, and I will be able to put our request into that so it can be considered against all those other priorities.
Okay,
so I'm following up on that.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer.
Drop it in, because it should be in this report every 6 weeks, and I want to make sure that Lake Snow stays there, because last, if you remember rightly, the story was about, well, we haven't talked about Lake Snow for a long time, it sort of dropped off the focus. I want to make sure...
Fair enough. So I think in fairness, if Dr. Palmer's got something to report and update us, we would expect to hear that. That's fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just so I'm clear, Mr. Chairman, is it only reporting when something happens, or are you expecting a report every 6 weeks? And the reason I ask is that on a six-week frequency, which is very frequent, there may not be a lot of change from the previous reporting.
It was my interpretation of the chair was that I felt that it wasn't required every 6 weeks if there was nothing to report.
Thank you.
Councillor Laws has perhaps suggested a six-weekly update regardless, but I think that's the key.
Mm.
I think we all agree on that. If there's something to report, let's hear about it.
Okay.
But otherwise, it stays off the agenda and until it needs to be, new information needs to be brought to us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Finally, the other one is the writing to the Minister of Biosecurity and the Government, which was assigned. Motion passed on the 12th of June. Has that letter been sent?
Yes.
Okay. And have we had a reply?
No.
When did we send it?
Not that long ago, so I wouldn't have expected a reply. I think it was last week.
Okay. So we'll watch that space. Okay, moving on to item 10, matters for noting. This is the General Manager's Operations Report to the Technical Committee. Thank you very much for the report, Dr. Palmer. We take it as read, but we'll just go through the three items here. So please just raise, if you've got any issues, just ask the question, basically. So the Leith Flood Protection Scheme just updates the committee on where the project is at, and in fact reminds us under four, the three key risk areas, which are obviously a focus to ensure that they are monitored and reviewed on a regular basis. And I also see on the second page under six, reminding the committee that there is obviously a later conclusion for this work. It's now projected to be completed in October 2019 rather than August, and obviously flagging the potential for the additional time will obviously increase the cost of this stage. So they're probably the two key points. But are there any other questions, queries? Councillor Scott.
Yeah, just the note where it says the person's entering the site without the authorisation of the contractor continues to occur. And that's of a concern to me. So my question is, I mean, do we have, for example, do we have 24-hour security? What fundamentally is the issue there? I mean, can we improve the security to make that hazard go away?
So, through you, Mr. Chairman, we are making continual improvements. The mix of methods are in paragraph 5, the top of page 6. I'd rather not go into the detail around that, but it starts to defeat the purpose of it. But tends to be a spike in incidents associated with things happening in town near the site. And so we plan ahead accordingly.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, haven't we got 24-hour security?
Mr. Chairman, I prefer not to answer that question in public because it does start to defeat the purpose of security measures, but I'm satisfied that on a continual basis there is a high level of security and that we are taking prudent steps that are proportionate to the risk. What I haven't said there, the other thing that we've done recently is extend an invitation to the Otago University Students Association for reps to accompany us on site just so that they understand what we're talking about when we're talking about these risks. They've accepted that offer and we'll be making that visit next week. But yeah, it's subject to continual review and improvement where we can make improvement.
No, fair enough. But what the report does say that, you know, this incident continues to occur. But you're saying you're on top of it and you expect that issue to go away.
No, I'm not, Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying I'm expecting it to go away because it's something that I can't fully control. But what I'm saying is there's extensive measures being taken, which include the fencing, the signage, security guards, publicity, direct communication with groups. Good. I'm comfortable we are doing something that's proportionate to the scale of the issue. We're always reviewing it, but in the end, we cannot physically stop people who are absolutely determined to breach all of that and enter what is a very hazardous site for them.
Can I just suggest, I imagine every week or how often the project management committee meet, they will have a health and safety section on the agenda, and that focus was probably number one perhaps on the list, and you'll be monitoring and reviewing on an weekly basis, and if it needs to be done more frequently than that, it would be done. Would that be correct?
Absolutely right. There are weekly site meetings. Health and safety is always the first topic discussed. This matter is always discussed at those meetings and in between, and we don't wait for one of those meetings to take action. In addition to that, we've had specific site visits involving the communications team, representatives of the University of Otago contractor to go on site and just look at it and think about what more we can be doing. So it's a subject of continual review and improvement.
Dr. Palmer's really said it all. The only thing I would add is that every time there is an incident, we then review what's happened and look at what measures we had in place and whether we could do more and take action if we need to. And I think it's important to remember what our responsibilities are. So first, we have to eliminate risk as far as practical and then minimise it. So we can't necessarily get rid of all risk, but we need to take the measures we can to both eliminate it and then where we can't, to minimise it.
Thank you. Councillor Hope.
Thank you. I just want to ask Dr. Palmer, just on that first page, item 3 just talks about WorkSafe undertook an impromptu site visit. Do you get them coming often, and do you get them coming impromptu? How does it work? You know, it's complex, obviously, you can see. And it's not easy, and you're dealing with things, as you say, sometimes beyond your control, so you have to do the best. Do you have that? Do they appear often?
I can't recall. I'll come back to you on the answer That's to right. that question. I can't recall whether this is the first visit on this site. It's certainly not the first time on the lease scheme we've had visits, and of course it's impromptu because that's the purpose.
And
we're pleased with the outcome of that visit, thanks to what the contractor is doing.
Thank you.
Other queries? Councillor Decker.
I'm really impressed with the efforts that Dr. Palmer and the staff and his contractor have made to keep this site safe. Frankly, I've been holding my breath ever since that work started. When you think about where it is, it's inevitable that some drunken twit is going to fall at some stage or other. And I'm delighted it hasn't happened. And I'm thinking purely hasn't happened because of the efforts of all the people involved in curing security and probably passing police cars from time to time. But I've been, ever since I saw those fences go up across Dundas Street, I thought, oh, by God, there's a challenge. Keep fingers crossed to all of us until October. Get the job finished as quickly as possible before it happens.
Well, the good part about it, we're on the home straight, so...
Yeah, I agree.
But any other queries, questions on the Leith?
I was just going to ask one more. Dr. Palmer. The weather, obviously, you've been lucky too. That's a big factor.
We 4 QMEX is our threshold for distinction between contractor's risk and our risk. And we've been up at 4 QMEX once, and in the weekend before last it got up to about 6. So, yeah, those are very small flows, and the weather's been really good so far.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to regional liquefaction assessment. Ben, this is probably in your area of expertise. Is there any comments you wanted to make? Obviously, the city was done some years ago. The balance of the region has now been done. This is a desktop exercise. Helps to guide TLAs in terms of their district plans, etc. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, you've pretty much got it there. it is a big improvement on the information we had previously, which dated from 2005. This study really focuses in on the key things you need to have liquefaction, which are certain grain size and shallow water table. They're the two key ingredients. So a lot of land that was previously identified as liquefaction prone has dropped out. So the area has reduced across the region.
That's a bit more precise in terms of the risk areas. And the question I had, Ben, was around... from our point of view, a regional plan perspective, I'm thinking more in the longer term, is there anything that would suggest with this latest information that we would need to update next time we review our regional plan, that this would influence a review of the regional plan? Is that a likely outcome?
I can answer that. I think in respect of district plans, it's information that will be included in future reviews.
Our own regional plan.
We don't have a land plan.
Appreciate
we don't have
that.
Other controls on land, but certainly in terms of things like the regional policy statement, which sets out. Things like our role in respect of collecting information and how that's used in natural hazards, it certainly has a relevance there.
Right, yeah, so the regional policy statement. Yep. Sorry. Okay, thank you. Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you. Along similar lines, so question for the two gentlemen at the bottom. Are we going to present this in some detail too, or get a consultant to the district councils, or are we just going to hand it to them? Will it be part of our own hazards database that can be searched for when people are purchasing or looking to make changes on their own properties? You know, for example, we put a house in one of these zones, and So it's the accessibility, I suppose, and the actions that the TLAs will take as a result of this information that ensures it's used constructively for future processes, you know, planning and the like. So just some further questions around that, please.
Yes, so it'll be basically distributed to the relevant TAs next week formally, and the electronic data will be sent to their relevant information management teams, certainly with a letter of offer to help. In terms of using this, there is quite good guidance provided by MBIE about how liquefaction assessments at the TA sort of level should be approached.
Righto. Has that, if I might just add on to that, Mr. Chairman, has that changed since the Christchurch issues?
Yes. Yeah.
Righto.
Thank Christchurch you. Was a real wake-up call and highlighted the hazard of liquefaction.
Thank you.
Councillor Scott.
Yeah, so my question might already have been answered, I'm not sure, but say I've got a house in one of those coastal areas where the liquefaction's been identified. What should I do?
Existing house.
Yeah.
It's important to note that the mapping identifies areas where liquefaction susceptible material may be present. It doesn't identify a liquefaction hazard as such. It just says the conditions or the landform there has the sort of makeup that could host those conditions.
So it's not a definitive thing. So I'd need to get some technical advice if I was concerned.
Yes.
Yeah.
For existing,
spade and dig a hole.
For existing developments, there's probably limited, or possibly limited options you could do without a full sort of retro foundation, but it's primarily probably targeted at new developments, new builds.
So can I just follow up Councillor Woodhead's tongue-in-cheek comment about digging a hole? An on-site assessment would clarify the need for perhaps greater or foundations to a greater depth, for example. So your next step would be an on-site inspection of your section. Would that be correct if you wanted to clarify what the foundations would require to be building on that particular site? Would that be fair enough?
Yes. Yeah. So there'd be a geotechnical report for the development, which, depending on the site, could involve drilling or digging a hole, literally, or cone penetrometer testing.
Okay.
But is it right to suggest that if you've got an existing house, that there isn't remedial works that you could do? I would have thought there potentially could be. I mean, for example, you might have to relook at your foundations and so forth. And I mean, it wouldn't be easy, but it depends what the risk is. It depends what the insurance is. What's the impact on insurance in these areas now that there's information's out?
If I can answer that, there's a high correlation between liquefaction susceptibility and the type of material. And if you look at paragraph 13, for example, you'll see that the areas that are most likely to liquefy will be poorly consolidated estuarine and marine sediments. And so I think most people generally know the setting of their house and whether they are on that kind of soil. So there shouldn't be a big surprise with this latest information. There is a possibility of doing things to your house around foundations, but there are other things, like if you've got a heavy tile roof, you know, lightening your roof and putting on, you know, steel, for example. So there are a number of things that people can do in the course of, you know, just redeveloping and upgrading their properties that will build resilience.
And what about my question on insurance through the chair? Now that this information is available, what does that mean from an insurance perspective?
So potentially it does have some effect, but that really comes down to how insurers see risk. And what we also know is that insurers have substantial amounts of hazard information, in some cases more than we have. So, but that really comes down to how they see the risk over the 12-month period that they are insuring. They're insuring for very short periods too, and have the opportunity, of course, to renew only if they wish to renew. But as we know, we're seeing risk-based risk-based pricing coming into insurance based around natural hazards, and that's likely to increase.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's good. Thank you. Good discussion. Any other queries on that topic? If not, moving on to the third one, the Otago weather radar. I imagine, Ben, this is another one of yours.
Sure.
Yep. So this is good news, obviously. Site's been identified at Hindon for this technology, or for the radar, and obviously it will provide important information during an rain event and obviously post-event as well, in terms of managing the two flood schemes, the Tyree and the Leith. So anything else you want to share with us?
I suppose in general this will be the existing radars in Canterbury and Invercargill, so the coverage in Otago is not the best. So this will be a new tool for us to use. We do have a project next year to sort of gear up to make best use of this information, or how to use the radar signal in our flood forecasting and up-to-date information. So,
and when you talk about scoping of models, just can you, obviously this during this financial year, there's some work happening in that space. So what is that? That's sort of IT upgrade or something, or is it? What do you really mean by scoping models?
It's not my. Okay, sure.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Palmer.
No, now that we know where the radar is going to go,
yep,
and have some idea of the water courses that will capture that are of interest to us, we can now start to determine how big those models would be and their resolution. So it's putting some size around that now that we know where the radar is going to go.
Okay.
And then the things can be built. So that's what the scoping exercise is about, now that we know exactly where it's going to go.
That's the info that feeds in to understand what is developed to be able to analyse that data. Is that?
Yeah, well, now we know where it's going. We know that we're able to do some work around the Leith and Lindsay Creek and on the Tyree, whereas if the radar had been further inland, it might have missed some of that and instead covered the Manuhurikia, for example. So now we know where we're going to be operating and we can start designing, if you like. Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Laws, and then Councillor Hope.
Are we talking about the rain radars that I see on the Met Service website? It's currently one, I think, based on Southland, and then there's another one based on Canterbury. Is that right? So what's going to simply happen is that there's going to be one in the middle now, it's Dunedin, that's going to be based at Hindon. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So are you saying that the Southland one didn't capture the rainfall as it came through just the Tyree? Or are you saying that it also missed, Central Otago and Queenstown Lakes as well?
Yeah, that's true.
What's the story?
It captures some of it. So you can imagine the radar is an inverted cone.
Yep.
So you'll see image, but it won't be full height. And so you're only measuring some at the extremities, only measuring precipitation at high altitude. The one in the middle fills the gap so that you're getting that coverage across all altitudes of interest from a precipitation point of view.
So is it going to cover central Otago as well?
Not sure how far inland it will go.
It will have some visibility in central. It's, I think the focus of the site is mainly the coastal catchments.
Is Councillor Hope.
I was just going to say that I'm delighted we've got it. I just want to know how tall it is. I might be able to see it from where I live. I look all across the Hindon, you see. A joke, you know.
It's a two-storey building.
But I was actually trying to ask you a little bit more to tease out, how big is it? What does it look like? Is that what it is?
It's sort of looks a bit like an astronomical observatory,
right.
So it's white,
yes,
circular thing. There's one at Invercargill Airport, there's one at Rakaia.
Yep. You so that's may what have I'm seen them.
We'll be able to see you hanging out.
That's good. But you must be delighted to have this.
Oh, he doesn't look delighted.
Yeah, we are. It will make a huge difference for flood forecasting where, in practical terms, Lindsay Creek or Water of Leith are falling, flows we are measuring, and we're not quite sure if that's a genuine recession or there might be more rain coming where you'll get a rebound and the second peak will be higher than the first. So there's a lot of very practical operational decisions that will benefit from this alone, let alone the modelling type stuff that we can do, building on what Auckland City have done for a number of years and the example in the report here.
And also too, from where I live, when you've got the 3 o'clock coming down, you get a lot more information on that as well. I mean, I know Councillor Laws has asked about Central and you're unclear as to how far back it goes, but is it going to give you a good picture of what's going on in the hinterlands?
Yeah, I mean, rain gauges tell you the rain you've just had, whereas radar tells you the rain you're about to get. And so it's that ability to be looking what's about to hit you, and that's a huge improvement on what we presently have.
Yep. This is a slightly tongue-in-cheek comment, and there's no one, I believe. Oh, there is some from the media, but... sorry, mate.
Perhaps you did not make it then, Donald.
You've just given me the incentive to do it. Turning, in terms of planning approval, is there anything required from a land use point of view?
Those are matters Met Service are working through. I don't know what further they have to do, but clearly they felt confident enough to make a public announcement.
So the hurdles aren't hopefully too high?
Oh, you never believe these things until you get in the data. So, but, you know, I get
a... Do you know somebody, Andrew, or something?
Well, after what Councillor Laws has said, I'm not going to say any more. No, that's good. Thank you for that. Any other queries with regards to the rain radar? Everyone comfortable?
Yeah.
Good news story. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That concludes the... I better move the motion that we receive this report. Seconded by Councillor Hope. Put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you very much for your attendance and contribution.